Law 45. Preach the need for change, but never reform too much at once. Everyone understands the need for change in the abstract, but on the day-to-day level, people are creatures of habit. Too much innovation is traumatic and will lead to revolt. If you are new to a position of power, or an outsider trying to build a power base, make a show of respecting the old way of doing things. If change is necessary, make it feel like a gentle improvement on the past. I used to subscribe to the fact that, no, you're not supposed to change people. You don't want to change people. Changing people is bad. And the context I'm talking about is especially within relationships with other people, not have to be romantic, but just relationships with other human beings and friendships, etc., etc. And they would say something to the fact of, you know, don't try and change people. You know, people will change on their own. You let guide them into change. You know, don't try and force them into change. And while that's true in its own aspect of guiding them in, I've kind of flipped on my perspective and opinion on this idea of change. And now I'm like, no, change is happening to everybody. I'm trying to change everybody. Everybody who will listen, I'm trying to change in some positive way. We don't want to stay the same. We want to keep moving forward. To keep moving forward, we have to change. Maybe I'm playing with semantics here, but the idea that you shouldn't try and change people is kind of silly to me now. I'm trying to change everybody. We're trying to grow, we're trying to get better, we're trying to create more stronger values and habits within ourselves to be more prosperous within our life. So that's something I just wanted to preface this whole law to. But like a billiard ball hit too hard against the cushion, your need for change and your reforms that you try to put in action can often result in catastrophic circumstances that you do not have control over or you do not envision. Imagine a billiard ball being hit time and time again, quickly, back and forth, back and forth. If you try and preach change and instill change in that manner, then there's going to be consequences that most likely are not going to be advantageous and they're going to be largely out of your control. The man who initiates strong reforms often becomes the scapegoat for any kind of dissatisfaction, and eventually the reaction to his reforms may consume him, for change is upsetting to the human animal, even when it is for the good. People don't want to change, but they do. It's this superficial change that they crave for. You don't want to upset the ingrained habits and values and principles and that people live by, because it's so identified with who they are, with their identity. So when we try and change certain people, try and guide them to a different path that we have seen work so many times, this can often upset people emotionally. We latch onto familiar faces and create habits and rituals to make the world more comfortable. Change can be pleasant and even sometimes desirable in the abstract, but too much of it creates an anxiety that will stir and boil beneath the surface and eventually erupt. Never underestimate the hidden conservatism of those around you. It is powerful and entrenched. Never let the seductive charm of an idea cloud your reason. Just as you cannot make people see the world your way, you cannot wrench them into the future with painful changes. They will rebel. If reform is necessary, anticipate the reaction against it and find ways to disguise the change and sweeten the poison. Now I'm young, and many of my viewers, I see the demographics are within the 20s to 35, relatively where some of the youngest demographic outside of our teenage years. And so when we preach that colleges may not have the same value that they had before, and a lot of the times colleges and universities are not for the majority of people nowadays, a lot of people hold that opinion. Well, the people born decades before us, find this disrespectful a lot of the times, because the past is powerful, and what has happened before seems greater. To them, it seems greater. Habit and history give any act weight. Use this to your advantage. When you destroy the familiar, you create a void or vacuum. People fear the chaos that will flood in and fill it. You must avoid stirring up such fears at all cost. Borrow the weight and legitimacy from the past, however remote, to create a comforting and familiar presence. This will give your actions romantic associations, add to your presence, and cloak the nature of the changes you are attempting. It must be considered that there is nothing more difficult to carry out, nor more doubtful of success, nor more dangerous to handle than to initiate a new order of things. Niccolo Machiavelli. Keys to Power. Human psychology contains many dualities, one of them being that even while people understand the need for change, knowing how important it is for institutions and individuals to become occasionally renewed, they are also irritated and upset by changes that affect them personally. This is what I was saying before, challenges their identity. They know that change is necessary and that the novelty provides relief from boredom. But deep inside, they cling to the past. Change in the abstract or superficial change they desire, but a change that upsets core habits and routines is deeply disturbing to them. So that's from the psychological perspective of how change can massively disrupt a person's core values as a person. For Machiavelli, the prophet who preaches and brings change can only survive by taking up arms. When the masses inevitably yearn for the past, he must be ready to use force. But the armed prophet cannot last long unless he quickly creates a new set of values and rituals to replace the old ones and to soothe the anxieties of those who dread change. It is far easier and less bloody to play a kind of con game. Preach change as much as you like and even enact your reforms, but give them the comforting appearance of older events and traditions. An example of this comes from the time of AD 8 to AD 23 of a Chinese emperor named Wang Mang. He emerged from a period of great historical turbulence in which the people yearned for order, an order represented by their previous philosopher Confucius some 200 years earlier. However, the emperor had ordered the writings of Confucius be burned. A few years later, word had spread that certain texts had miraculously survived, hidden under a scholar's house. These texts may have not been genuine, but they gave Wang his opportunity. He first confiscated them, then had his scribes insert pages into them that seemed to support the changes he had been imposing on the country. When he released the texts, it seemed that Confucius sanctioned Wang's reforms and that people felt comforted and accepted them more easily. Understand, the fact that the past is dead and buried gives you the freedom to reinterpret it, as Wang did. To support your cause, tinker with the facts. The past is a text in which you can safely insert your own lines. A simple gesture like using an old title or keeping the same number for a group will tie you to the past and support you with the authority of history. That's just another small tactful example you can use. Another strategy to disguise change is to make a loud and public display of support for the values of the past. Seem to be a zealot for tradition, and few will notice how unconventional you really are. Because while on the surface you may appear to support the past, inside, deep inside, you are maneuvering in ways that support your own causes of a new change. And this is law 3 and 4. Some of my favorite laws. Conceal your intentions, always a lesson necessary. You have to enact those laws to enact this law. If we talk about science, it claims a search for truth that would seem to protect it from conservatism and the irrationality of habit. It's a culture of innovation, that's what science is. And many people don't know this. When Charles Darwin published his ideas for evolution, he faced fiercer opposition from his fellow scientists than from religious authorities. His theories challenged too many fixed ideas. Jonas Salk ran into the same wall with his radical innovations in immunology. Max Planck ran into the same issue with his revolutionizing of physics. Planck later wrote of the scientific opposition he faced, a very astute comment. A new scientific truth does not triumph by convincing its opponents and making them see the light, but rather because its opponents eventually die, and a new generation grows up that is familiar with it. I thought that was such an interesting comment by Planck because, yeah, it's kind of true, isn't it? The change that we're seeing over our centuries are being forced out, not because we're forcing them out, because we're forcing our opinions down people's throats, because that usually doesn't work for long-lasting change, but because the previous generation before us, who held the past beliefs of the time, are all buried in the ground or are dead. And I feel like I can kind of sense the future of our own culture. We think, oh, we believe this so steadfastly. I believe this. I believe this. This is where the world's going. Nah, a new order is going to come in another century, in our next generation. The things we believe today are going to be laughed at a lot of the times for the next century. Now, if we talk on core principles, like this book covers, that's a different story. But if we're talking the superficialities of our culture and society, then that's what I'm talking about. They're gonna be laughed at. But the answer to this innate conservatism is to play the courtier's game. What is the courtier's game? The courtier's game is what we're talking about. The courtier's game is feigning an image that is not 100% real. It's partly fabricated. Robert comments to pay lip service to tradition. Identify the elements in your revolution that can be made to seem to build on the past. Say the right things, make a show of conformity, and meanwhile let your theories do their radical work. Play the appearances and respect past protocol. Respect is a big thing. This is true in every arena, science being no exception. And I found this in the arena of many traditional cultures, Chinese history, Greek history, any Eastern European country. The list goes on. These countries who have ingrained and so proud of their culture and past histories, they have certain ways of living that they even continue now until. And when I've come across these individuals who are of age and who have lived their tumultuous times that we could not have even imagined, then we must respect their traditions. We must pay lip service, even though we may disagree and feel differently and live different ways. It is only smart to be the courtier, the respectful courtier. Listen intensely and even agree with principles of the past. You'll win their favor that way. Watch the zeitgeist. If you work in a tumultuous time, there is power to be gained by preaching a return to the past, to comfort, tradition, and ritual. During a period of stagnation, on the other hand, play the card of reform and revolution, but beware of what you stir up. Those who finish a revolution are rarely those who start it. You will not succeed at this dangerous game unless you are willing to forestall the inevitable reaction against it by playing with appearances and building on the past. Image. The cat. Creatures of habit, it loves the warmth of the familiar. Upset its routines, disrupt its space, and it will grow unimaginable and psychotic. Placate it by supporting its rituals. If change is necessary, deceive the cat by keeping the smell of the past alive. Place objects familiar to it in strategic locations. Reversal. The past is a corpse to be used as you see fit. But if what happened in the recent past was painful and harsh, it is self-destructive to associate yourself with it. Pay attention to the times, but understand if you make a bold change from the past, you must avoid at all costs appearances of a void or vacuum, or you will create terror. Even an ugly recent history will seem preferable to an empty space. People hate uncertainty. Fill that space immediately with new rituals and forms, soothing and growing familiar. These will secure your position among the masses. Finally, the arts, fashion, and technology would seem to be areas in which power would come from creating a radical rupture with the past and appearing cutting edge. Indeed, such a strategy can bring great power, but it has many dangers. It is inevitable that your innovations will be outdone by someone else. You have little control. Someone younger and fresher moves in a sudden new direction, making your bold innovation of yesterday seem tiresome and tame today. You are forever playing catch-up. Your power is tenuous and short-lived. You want a power built on something more solid? Using the past, tinkering with tradition, playing with conversation to subvert it will give your creation something more than a momentary appeal. In the end, using the past for your own purposes will bring you more power than trying to cut it out completely, a futile and self-destructive endeavor. Law 45. Preach the need for change, but never reform too much at once.